Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picaretta. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, I am nothing, you are all. Come, O divine will, to think in my mind, to circulate in my blood, to look with my eyes, to listen in my ears, to speak in my voice, to breathe in my breathing, to palpitate in my heart, to move in my motion, to suffer in my suffering. And may my soul consume, infuse with your will, be the living crucifix, immolate for the glory of God the Father. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to everybody. We will continue with the Book of Heaven, Volume 20, February 21st, 1927. The title of this passage is The Reason for the Great Interest of Jesus in wanting to make the divine will known. Luisa writes, My poor mind was wandering with the knowledge about the supreme volition, and I thought to myself, why does Jesus have so much interest that this divine will be known, and that it reign in the midst of creatures? Why so much interest in making the divine will known, my brothers and sisters? Let's see why our Lord wants this gift to be known. Now, while I was thinking of this, my always love about Jesus came out from within my interior and told me, My daughter, do you want to know why I have so much interest in making my will known, and that it reign in the midst of creatures? Because it alone is the means to be able to redo the creature, and it places me and her in the condition of being able I to give and the creature to receive, until my will returns triumph and dominating in the midst of creatures. I will not be able to give what I want, and they will lack the capacity, the space, to be able to receive what I can and want to give. We lack the capacity to receive what the Lord wants to give us. In fact, my will alone has the virtue, this power, that establishing order and balance between creator and creature, it opens all the ways of communication between them. God has his royal path in order to be able to send his gifts with no danger, descend whenever he wants, and bring personally his greatest good to her. And the creature possessing the same path can receive him or ascend in order to go herself to take what the Lord wants to give. The Lord wants to redo the creature. The Lord wants to restore the disfigured image in our souls and to restore us into his likeness. How is he restoring us? Well, the Lord uses his sacraments to restore us, the sacraments that have the power to bring us back into the life of grace. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in the second section, when it talks about the sacraments, it gives an introduction before paragraph 1066, and it describes the sacraments as powers that go forth from the body of Christ to heal the wounds of sin and to give us the new life in Christ. The Lord tells Luisa Picaretta that he wants to redo the creature, to establish his will. The sacraments are powers that the Lord uses to redo us, to heal us, to transform us. The sacraments have the power to bring us from darkness into light, from slavery into the freedom of the children of God. In the sacrament of baptism, we receive new life in Christ, a new birth. And the sacrament of baptism confers on us this mark in our soul that remains forever, forever. The sacrament of baptism has the power to forgive sins. So it takes us from the darkness, from the chains of sin, into the freedom, into the light of the children of God. The sacrament of confirmation gives us the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and it confers on us the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit: wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counseling, piety, courage, and fear of the Lord, to help us grow in holiness so that we will grow in the likeness of God. It's reshaping us, redoing the creature, healing the creature. The sacrament of the Eucharist has the power to nourish us with the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can continue our journey in our vocation in life, so that we will have the strength to remain faithful to the Lord. The sacrament of confession has the power to make us anew. The sacrament of confession takes us from slavery into the freedom. It takes away the chains of sin and gives us the freedom of the children of God. It has the power to forgive sins. We have this great remedy, this great medicine in this sacrament that is able to redo the creature, to reshape our soul. The sacrament of anointing of the sick has the power to forgive sins, to unite the sick person, all his or her sufferings, with the sufferings of Christ, so that it's another Christ living and suffering in those who unite themselves with Jesus through the sacrament of holy anointing. It forgives sins. It unites the sick person with Christ and his or her sufferings, so that his or her sufferings will acquire redemptive value. The sacrament of matrimony has the power to help the couple to live under the blessing of God, to share their lives under the blessing of God, so that the married couple should be an icon of the Blessed Trinity, helping each other, sacrificing daily for the good of the other, giving themselves freely in love, making mutual sacrifices for the good of the family, for the good of the marriage, so that they become a living icon of the Blessed Trinity, so that they can raise up holy families, so that the house of Nazareth can be repeated, the life of the house of Nazareth can be repeated in every marriage. This is what the Lord desires. This is how he wants to transform us, to redo us. And of course, we have the sacrament of holy priesthood, which confers on us priests and gives us the power to dispense the sacraments to the faithful for the good of the church, for the good of God's people, so that we can receive healing, so that God can transform us and heal us through these great remedies that flow from the body of Christ. That again, as the Catechism says, they are powers that go forth from the body of Christ to heal us, to heal the wounds of sin and to give us the new life in Christ. The sacraments are divine remedies that our Lord gives us. The church is like a divine pharmacy. The church is the divine pharmacy in which we find the divine remedies that our Lord wants to give us to grow in holiness. This gift of living in the divine will is being deposited in the church. It's being given to us through the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. It's being deposited in the church, and we find these divine remedies in this divine pharmacy, which is the church. All the remedies are in the church, especially in the sacraments, in the sacrament of confession. This gift and the knowledge of living in divine will is being deposited in the church, and the church has approved this private revelation. These writings of the divine will come to us through the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, whose mission is to teach us how to live in the divine will. So when we read them, when we hear programs like this, we grow in the knowledge and understanding of this divine science. We learn how to live in the divine will. Our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta, "Until my will returns, I will not be able to give, and the creatures will not be able to receive because they lacked the capacity to receive what I want to give." We lacked the capacity to receive, my brothers and sisters. Our Lord wants to give us, but we lacked the capacity to receive. In Sermon 130, St. Augustine comments about this, about the fact that we lacked the capacity to receive. He says, "Our Lord wants to exercise our desire to receive. His gift is very great indeed, but our capacity is too small and limited to receive it. That is why we are told, enlarge your desires. Believe. The deeper our faith, the stronger our hope, the greater our desire, the larger will be our capacity to receive that gift, which indeed is very great." Our Lord wants to bestow upon each one of us this great gift of living in the divine will, but we lacked the capacity to receive, and He wants to give us this gift. How do we enlarge our capacity to receive, you may say, you may ask? Well, the Lord tells us in Volume 14, May 27, 1922, about the Prevenient Act and the Actual Act. It tells us that both of them are necessary, and that the Prevenient Act is when you anticipate all the things you are going to do during the day, and you desire that you want to place them, and you want to do them in the divine will. The Actual Act is when you call the divine will to come and palpitate in you, to come and work in you, to come and do everything in you right there at the right moment when you are doing the act. So the prevenient act prepares, and the actual act, it says, expands our capacity to receive. The Lord wants to bestow this gift of living in divine will to all of us. He knows that we lack the capacity to receive. And the only way that we can acquire this capacity is by doing acts in the divine will. By His will reigning in our hearts, in our souls, then He will be able to bestow all the graces that He wants to bestow, all the graces that this gift brings. Let's continue. As rich and powerful as a king might be, if he finds no one to whom to give, he will never have the contentment, the satisfaction of being able to give. His riches will remain idle, isolated, abandoned. Perhaps he will live drawn within his own riches, but he will never have the contentment, the happiness to give and to let others enjoy his goods, because he finds no one to whom to give them. This king will be a king isolated, abandoned, without court. He will have no one who smiles at him, who says to him a thank you, because the feast is formed by giving and by receiving. So with all his riches, this king will have a nail in his heart, abandon, monotony. He will be rich, but without glory, without heroism, without a name. What sorrow for this king with all his riches. The divine king wants to be recognized with a simple thank you. A simple thank you will make him content. The divine king becomes a beggar because he wants to have his place in us. And there is no one who says even a word of thank you to this king. So this king finds himself in sorrow. That's why when we go around and do the rounds of creation and we imprint our I love you, I thank you, I adore you, I glorify you, I praise you with your will, God feels the recognition. He receives the recognition of all his creation. And this is what he wants. He wants to have the recognition of his creation. He wants to be recognized as our God and Father. He wants to receive the recognition of His creation. Let's continue. Now, my daughter, the reason for which we issued the creation and created man was to give our riches, so that the external glory of our words may unite to the internal glory and the immense happiness that we possess. So since the creature is not in our will, we feel her far away from us. There is no one who surrounds us with her thank you. No one who smiles at us with delight for our words. Everything is isolation. We are surrounded by immense riches. But because our creatures are far away from us, we have no one to whom to give. We have no one who admires our work in order to enjoy them. The creature is isolated from God. Through the sacrament of confession, we come back to the life of grace. We don't have to be isolated, my brothers and sisters. We don't have to be isolated anymore. The divine king invites us to welcome him. He wants to give us his great gift of living in the divine will. This gift will make us happy. This gift, which is deposited in the church, will heal us, will transform us. The divine king wants to be recognized. He wants the I love you of the creature. In volume 33, December 10, 1933, our Lord reveals to Luisa the joy and the happiness, the correspondence that he received from the creature. When Adam spoke his first words, saying, I love you, my God, my Father, the author of my life. This I love you was the perfect correspondence of the creature to God. And this is what God wants, my brothers and sisters. This is why he wants his will to be known. This is why he wants his message, the knowledge of living in the divine will has to be known, so that people will come to know this gift. They will come to love it. They will come to possess it. And in doing this, God will be able to receive through us on behalf of everybody. And since he is receiving on behalf of everybody, he will enlarge our capacity to receive also on behalf of everybody, because he wants to give us on behalf of everybody. He wants to have this correspondence between him and the creature. That's why there is so much interest for these writings to be known, for this way of living to be known in the world. This is the gift, my brothers and sisters, that so many of the saints long for. They desire, they knew that there was something else. St. Augustine, in his Confessions, when he is meditating upon his desire for the Lord, this longing of his heart for the Lord, this thirst that his soul experienced for God that couldn't be satisfied, he says, "O God, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee." This is the gift, my brothers and sisters, that satisfies our thirst for God. This is it, my brothers and sisters. That's why our Lord Jesus wants this gift to be known. That's why we must do everything we can to make this gift known to others, to share it with others, so they will come to know, to love, and to possess this great gift. Let's continue. "We are happy, but because of ourselves, nor is there anyone who could slightly disturb our happiness. But we are forced to see the unhappiness of creatures, because being disunited, they cannot take and we cannot give. The human will has formed defenses and has locked the doors of communication. To give is liberality, heroism, love. To receive is grace. And the creature, by doing her own will, hinders our liberality, our heroism, our love. And if something is given, it is always restricted, limited. Because since the order between them and us is missing, things do not run freely. We are not capable of sorrow. Our being is untouchable by all evils. But if we were capable of sorrow, the creature will poison our existence. This is then the reason for all our interest in wanting to make our will known, and that it may reign in the midst of creatures. We want to give. We want to see them happy with our own happiness, and our will alone can bestow this on the creature. Everything is grace. Saint Teresa of Lisieux reminds us that everything is grace, and the Lord tells us here that yes, to receive is grace. God, in his infinite love for all of us, in his infinite mercy for all of us, is bestowing this gift upon all of us. This is indeed a great act of mercy. This is a great act of love. Our Lord reminds us that we are not able, we are not capable of receiving. Therefore, the Lord is not able to give us. Being disunited, says the Lord, the creature cannot take and we cannot give. That's why it's so important to do our acts in the divine will, to do the prevenial act in the morning as soon as we get up from bed, offer our day in the divine will, and throughout the day have this desire that we want to remain in the divine will. The human will forms fences and locks doors. It closes the way of communication. In other words, the human will keeps us apart from the divine will. It keeps us from receiving the gift that our Heavenly Father has for all of us, his children, his sons and daughters. We must surrender our will. We must expel the human will from our souls and give way to the divine will by returning to God. We must return to God. In sacred scripture, God tells us through the prophet Joel, "Return to me. Render your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord." In other words, surrender your will. Render your human will. Take away the garment of misery. Take away the garment of the human will and put on the garment of the divine will, the garment that I give you through the sacraments, through my church. Come and take from this divine pharmacy that contains all the remedies, all the healing for the soul. When our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta that he wants to redo the creature, to place the creature in the condition to receive, he's telling us about his love for each one of us. When he is doing the miracles in the gospel, when he is healing the cripple, when he is giving sight to the blind, when he is curing the deaf, when he is cleaning the leper, at the spiritual level, he's healing our soul. He's enabling our soul to be able to see again, to be able to walk the path of holiness, to be able to hear the voice of God in our hearts, in our souls, to follow him with undivided hearts. When he is healing the leper, he is enabling our souls to be healed from the leprosy of sin, envy, jealousy, scrupulosity, licentiousness, unchastity, all these things, all these illnesses of the soul that keep us away from the Lord, that makes us blind. So we must thank the Lord for the sacraments, We must imprint our I love you, I praise you, I glorify you, I thank you with your will for every sacrament. In every sacrament we receive, we must imprint our I love you, I thank you. Because the divine physician, the divine doctor, the divine healer is providing the remedies, the medicine, the divine remedies and medicine for all of us through the power of the sacrament. These are divine powers that flow from the sacraments, my brothers and sisters. This is the divine pharmacy, the church. His mercy is in the sacrament of confession. Our Lord tells us that the reason he wants his will known is so that we can be happy, so that we can be reshaped. By sinning our first parent, he brought this unity between him and God, between God and creation. He broke the harmony that existed, and this brought spiritual illnesses in our soul. Our Lord wants to redo us, and he does it through the sacraments. Oh, will of God, how admirable, powerful, and desirable you are. Oh, please, with your empire, conquer all, make yourself known, and make us all surrender to you. Make us all surrender to you. This is what he's asking us. In the Old Testament, the prophet Joel, in chapter 2, verse 12, says again, render your hearts, not your garments. Render your will. Render your human will. This is the reason why God wants this gift to be known, because he wants the creature, he wants us to be happy. He wants to turn our mourning into dancing, as Psalm 30 says. He wants to make us happy. He wants us to grow spiritually in holiness. He wants us to be holy, so we must not delay. We must surrender our will to the Lord. The human will, my brothers and sisters, is what he wants. Let us not be afraid, but let us be filled with faith and hope, knowing that the Lord is with us always, that he wants the recognition of all his creatures, that he is giving us all the help we need, that he has provided all the remedies, the divine remedies that are in the sacraments, that through private revelations like this, he wants us to grow holy, to grow in holiness. He wants us to be holy. He wants to restore this likeness that existed. Let us surrender our will to him in love. The divine king becomes a beggar, my brothers and sisters, because he wants this gift from all of us. He wants our free will, our human will, in exchange for his divine will. This divine king comes as a beggar. Why? Because he loves us. Why? Because he wants our human will. This divine king loves each one of us. This divine king loves each soul with the same intensity and love that he loves all humanity. So let us love him. Let us correspond to his love by surrendering our free will, knowing that when we do acts in the divine will, we are bringing the praise, the honor, and the adoration on behalf of all the human race, that we are giving to him what others deny. And in exchange, he is enlarging our capacity to receive on their behalf. These new doors are open. These new ways of communication are built between the soul and our God and Father, our Creator, the Divine King who wants to be recognized. This, my brothers and sisters, concludes Volume 20. We thank Father Robert Young for all his lessons, for his spiritual guidance, for his great teachings on the divine will, for the great love he had for the divine will, and for all the efforts and sacrifices and prayers he did to make this gift known. We ask our Lord that through our prayers, Father Young be taken into eternal life. We thank God for the gift of Father Robert Young in our lives. We ask Father Robert Young to intercede for us so we can continue to grow in the knowledge and understanding of living in the divine will, so that one day too may be able to enjoy eternal life. And perhaps one day Father Robert Young will say to us, what took you so long to get here? What a glorious day would that be if we are able to see the face of God the Father. Let's conclude with a prayer. O Supreme Will, come to reign upon earth, invest all generations, win and conquer all, and do not delay it any longer. Amen. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.